Welcoming in to kick things off, the multi-talented sportscaster, author, actor, podcast host, foot model, I'm told, Gary Tangway with us. Hello, Gary.
Whatever pays the bills, baby, whatever pays the bills.
How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. How's it going?
Oh, you know where we're doing. All right, it's Friday. It's beautiful fall day here in Maine. You know what it's like.
I love it. It's the best time of the year. Fall is, without question, the best time of the year. Summer's too hot. I get sticky and sweaty. Fall's the best.
I'm with you. September and October, my two favorite months of the year. You got so much going on. I love the Screen Time podcast. It is so terrific. And a couple of good ones recently talking, first of all, about the very talented Scott Frank.
Scott Frank is just one of the best writers ever. My partner, Drew Yana, who actually, if you ever want to talk screenwriting, you should, if you want to talk about scripts, Drew taught at Boston College. He was rep by William Morris. He sold a big movie and met with Sylvester Stallone, did all that stuff. And nobody breaks down a movie or a script better than Drew. And he'd be a great guest. We have to actually get you on our podcast at some point, Rich. But, yeah, Scott Frank is just so damn good. And right now he's the best writer working. And the way he works is tremendous. I mean, Godless was awesome. I love his work. And the fact that he does, like, one season and eight episodes, it's the perfect streaming vehicle. It really is. Like, give me one good season. Six episodes, eight episodes, whatever. True Detective, first season was great. The second one, not so much, you know? And if you look at his IMDb, I mean, he's written so many great screenplays.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal. But I'm just, right now, if you tell me Scott Frank's got something on Netflix or HBO or whatever, he's the guy, I think. And Godless is, I don't know if everyone has seen Godless, but I loved it.
Jeff Daniels told us a great story about that. They said, you can ride a horse, right? Of course I can. And then he fell off and broke his arm.
Oh, jeez. I didn't know that. But have I told you? I'm sorry if I repeat myself. But, boy, Daniels, he is something else, man. That guy is just, he's one of my heroes. And is he back on Broadway now with To Kill a Mockingbird?
No, he got done with that. He did go back. I think he wanted to make sure that they got some people back in the seats post-COVID. And he did it for a few months. And then I know Ed Harris stepped in for a while. I'm not sure who's doing it now. But he's had one new series. And then he's got another one coming soon to one of the cable outlets.
He's just terrific. I mean, I'm a huge, huge fan of that guy. And but to me, his monologue on Newsroom, you know, that kicks off the series.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I've heard him speak about it. I've watched him speak about that monologue on YouTube probably 100 times. Just to hear it again and again he's probably told you. But if you're an actor or you geek out on this stuff like, you know, Rich and I do, just watch it on YouTube because he talks about how Aaron Sorkin said, was really nervous about this. He said, are you good here? You know, we got a lot on the line with this. And that thing is a monster.
Oh, yeah.
A monologue. I mean, it's a freaking bear.
And I think what we see is like either the first or second take.
I think so too. I mean, because he goes in there and he said he knew it backwards and forwards and he just destroyed. And I know that he has the theater in, Wisconsin or Indiana?
Michigan. Chelsea, Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, and I think he does. I wish it was closer. I mean, I would go there for 2 months just to take classes from that guy.
Oh, yeah. But and he's also a terrific musician and songwriter. And Carrie and I and Bruce Pratt went down to see him a couple of years ago. He was doing a show at the Strand down in Rockland, and we ended up hanging out backstage. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. It was like we're long-lost friends. And this was about, I think, 2 months before he was going to open Mockingbird on Broadway. And I'll never forget him telling us, you know, the first month will determine, he goes, if it's all critics. And if they look and go, well, what is that guy doing? He's no Gregory Peck. Then we're done for. But he said, I think if they give it a chance, this is going to be the next Hamilton that will be on Broadway with this forever. And boy, was he right.
Well, he was right, and I'll tell you what. Well, first of all, he's got Shakespeare writing for him, right? I mean, Sorkin.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, you know, if you've got TV, like I still look at Frank as a screenwriter, as a film guy. You know, I still think Sorkin, West Wing, I think TV, it's all the same now. You know, whatever. It's really all the same. But I look at Frank and I go, okay, he takes what would have been maybe a film or maybe two films, right? And he makes it into a series. You know, I still look at Sorkin as the guy that did West Wing that just was unbelievable. And I think that, you know, if you have him and he's going to do, you know, you've got a chance, obviously. But, you know, I wanted to say to, like, Jeff Daniels, like, could you have picked, like, oh, I don't know, smaller shoes to fill? I mean, that's like taking over for you know, Babe Ruth or Hank Aaron or, like, you know, ask Cam Newton what it's like to take over for Tom Brady. I mean, that's, and he, I wish I had seen it. I guess he kills it.
Yeah, it sounds like that too. Now you also did a great podcast too on a guy, man. He on our list of people to try and get sometime because he is just brilliant in everything. Michael Keaton.
You know, I was never a big fan of Keaton as a comedian. My friend Drew, as you heard, loves him. I mean, he just, you know, Night Shift and all the great, you know, and it was like, I'm okay with him. You know, I was never like, but boy, when he started to do drama, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I am locked in on this guy. Like, The Paper, I love. It's so funny. Before I talked to you, I was just talking to Drew. Cause we talk it once a week. He's actually got a house in Naples, Florida, so he's glued to, like, CNN right now.
Yikes.
He's so far so good. But, you know, when Keaton started to do drama, that's when I was like, okay, this guy can do anything. I mean, he really can do anything. I even liked him in The Other Guys. You know, he played kind of the crazy cop captain there for Will Ferrell and Wahlberg. And he was good in that. And in Dopestick, he's terrific. But I think the format is a little shaky. If you watch it, you understand why he got the Emmy and the SAG. But they try to take too much in 8 episodes. You know, it's a little out of order. And the acting in Dopestick is phenomenal. I mean, off the charts. Mm. But the structure's a little all over the road. And I think that's where it wasn't as big as it could have been. But Keaton's, I never thought, when he was doing comedy, I never thought he would be a great dramatic actor. And he's phenomenal.
And it wasn't a great movie, but he was brilliant in the Ray Kroc movie, The Founder.
The Founder. You're right. Not a great movie. And here's another thing with Keaton. I'm glad you brought that up, Rich. Yeah, so-so movie, right? So-so. But Keaton has the ability to play the everyman, good or bad, right? So in Dopestick, he plays a flawed physician who is a good man. He's a good man. In The Founder, he plays Ray Kroc, who's not really a good man. Right?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But he still walks the line. The first time I ever, I said, okay, Keaton's for real. I don't know if you saw Spider-Man when he played the villain. Which Spider-Man was, I don't know, Spider-Man 8, 10, 11, 12, 34. I can't keep track. But I think it was the second one where he plays the villain and Spider-Man there, Tom, what's his face, ends up dating his daughter. And then you see a scene in the kitchen where Spider-Man figures out that Keaton's the villain and Keaton knows that Spider-Man knows he's the villain. And it's one of those great scenes because it's like a Hitchcockian, you know? I mean, it's tense. It's you can cut the air with a knife, but there's no blood, there's no fight. It's just all a mental game, and it's so freaking good. The Birdman was—he was good in Birdman. He was really good in Birdman, but I'm not a big fan of the movie. It was kind of nuts. It was like the camera move was so. There was so much camera movement. They fell in love with it. I wanted to puke. I mean, I was like, sick. You know what I mean? I mean, I was like, But yeah, I could go on about, and I think it's as a dramatic act to me.
Yeah.
Like my friend Drew loves his comedy, and I know he was a stand-up comedian for a while, but his comedy to me is like, it's okay, but dramatic, he's phenomenal.
Yeah, well, check out the podcast. If you don't subscribe to Screen Time, you should with Drew and Gary. It's great stuff. Gary Tangway with us here on Downtown. This Celtics situation, man, holy cow. Even a green teamer like you, Gary, had to be taken by surprise.
Well, nothing surprises me anymore in professional sports when it comes to marital situations.
Oy.
I mean, it's very hard to maintain a monogamous relationship with athletes and being away from home and being on the road and being worshipped, and they're at the workplace constantly. Now, having said that, you know, he was with Nia Long. What's the problem? Right?
I mean, yeah, but it's never, as you know, it's never about that. It's always, you know, guys that never satisfied, always think there's something better.
Well, yeah, we're pigs.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
Yes, we're pigs. I mean, we're pigs. And so this is what I have to say about it, is I am surprised because of his reputation. I will say that.
Mm.
The fact, I don't think the Celtics could have handled it any better than they did. And I know they've come under fire a little bit, but I talked about it with Bob Ryan on our podcast with Jeff Goodman. What do you do if you're the Celtics? I mean, Rich, you know, because you know, you've been in management. You hired me. But like, okay, if you're the Celtics as from a managerial standpoint, and you have a woman that comes to them, and it's human resources, I don't know if they could have handled it any differently.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Right? I mean, like, how do you, like, you I don't think you can tell the players, and maybe the players had some idea, but I think you have to have an investigation. You have to lawyer up big time. You have to protect your franchise. You have to protect yourself from lawsuits. You have to do the right thing, you know, because, I mean, and it's bad. I mean, somebody having an affair in the workplace, that's not new.
Right.
I mean, it still happens. I mean, my God, my wife and I weren't married to other people, but we met at Channel 4, you know, and people were meet in the workplace. It just happens. There are ways you handle it. But, like, she's married, and he had a significant other, and from what I, you know, reading the tea leaves, she cuts it off, he doesn't like it, and things get ugly. So it must have been really bad.
Right, and he's not coming back. I think they're working on terms of the settlement, but there's no way he comes back.
No, he's not coming back. He's not. Now, the assistant coach move, Mazzulla, that surprised me, because I thought Stoudemire would get it because of the fact that he played in the NBA. I don't know if Brad Stevens is saying, you know, okay, I'm going, Mazzulla's my guy. We're tightening up the ship here. I don't know. Because I thought Stoudemire would get the job. But I'm beyond, like, people say, well, he's only 34. That doesn't matter anymore.
No.
I mean, all the NFL coaches look like accountants.
Right, right.
I mean, the guy out for the Rams, I mean, if it wasn't for the beard, you'd think he was mowing your lawn, you know, or you know, he was like the kid next door who said, delivering papers, or, you know, Mr. Tangway, can I mow your lawn for a couple bucks? I mean, so it doesn't matter. You know, that doesn't matter anymore. You know, the one thing I do know in covering sports is that if you put together a game plan that the players believe in, that's all you need to do. So we'll see what this guy can do.
Well, he's got Blake Griffin now, so they're all set.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's what, every other game, maybe 10 minutes, maybe
yeah.
5 minutes.
Because the guy's 33 going on 50.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certain matchups in the playoffs, maybe you put him in. But, look, it's a nice addition. I mean, I'm not going to he's a veteran, but, I mean, he's not. He's a, you know, he's the 10th guy, maybe, 9th guy. But it's always good to have a veteran presence, you know, maybe. You know, a guy like him with a 34-year-old coach. The coach is a year older than him, but, you know, a veteran. But, see, I think it's time for Tatum and Brown to step up. They don't need coaches. You
right.
guys have been around long enough. You've been to the finals. We learned that Tatum was hurt pretty he was hurt pretty substantially, I think, in the finals when he kind of disappeared.
Mm.
So, you know, you guys don't need anybody to hold your hand anymore. You know what it takes. So, to me, it's on the players. That's where I'm coming from. This one is on the players.
I'm with you on that completely. Gary Tagway with us on Downtown. Gary, great to catch up with you. Appreciate you making time for us. As always, again, subscribe to Screen Time, a terrific conversation about film, TV, the creative process. We'll catch you soon, Gary. Thanks.
Anytime, Rich. You be good. We'll see you later.